Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is creating custom reports in WebSphere Business Modeler. Today's presenter is Hao Duane. Hao has been a Level 2 software support engineer for WebSphere Business Modeler Monitor since 2006. His job role is to assist users with Business Modeler Monitor issue. He has received his certification in IBM WebSphere Business Modeler version 6.2. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Hao.
Thanks, Joseph. Good morning, everyone. So today I will go over some of the quick details on how to create custom reports. I'll assume that since this is an immediate level presentation, I'll assume that all users have at least play with the custom report designer. So let's go to slide 2. So here's the agenda for today. I will quickly go over the data field, table, and groups. These product elements are what most users will need to know when creating a report template. Then I will go over the data source that is used to create a report template. And we'll go over XML, XPath, and the project data. This is how Mahler stores, define, and other data for the projects and how you can find them to create your report. And I'll quickly go over some how-tos, some examples on some of the most popular requests I've received and how to retrieve data for the report template. And I'll go over some of the features of the predefined report template, how you can modify them. Okay, so let's go to slide 3. So the first one, the product element, data field. This is what you will use to retrieve data from the project and display your report. You can select it from the palette, or you can just drag and drop from a data field view. When you have a data field in a report template, this is what it would look like on the right side here. The text is the data field name. Yeah, so let's go to slide 4. So at table, you need to select it from the palette and then drag it and drop it onto the report template. So a table is only used for displaying text. This is either a static field or a data field. And when you specify the data field path it will display a row for each of the data that matches the data field path of the table. So a group you can create by selecting from the palette and then dropping it onto the template. A group is used when you want to repeat more than just text. So it will repeat and display any elements that you drop inside of it. And it will repeat just like a table would. If it finds any elements that matches the data field path, it will display one group for it. And if you look in the upper right-hand corner of a group, you'll see an F. And what this means is that the data field path has been set for the group. Okay, let's go to slide 6. Okay, so this is an example of what a data field path for a table or group should be. So if you were to create a group or a table for a task, and if you want to find the task name, and repeat it. So what you would do is you would set the data field path and end it at task there. So if you look in the data field view, when you select the data field for a task name and you drag and drop it into the report template, you should get the data field as displayed here. And what you can just do is just copy everything except the at name and paste into the data field path of the table or group. Yeah, let's go to slide 7. So here's an example. I create a simple process for tasks. And so this is an example for a table. So in the table, I have a data field for task name as you saw in the previous slide. And the date of path for the table is as you saw in the previous slide also. So without a data field path, it would just grab the first element that it finds. In this case, it just happens to be task. And when you do have a data field path for the table, it will go ahead and find all matching elements that is of the task type in the process. And then it will just repeat and it provide itself for each of the element that is found. It usually does not display the elements in alphabetical order. It was just, in this case, it just happened that I create the task first, then task 2, task 3, and then task 4. So that was how it was saved. So it just found the element and then just returned it. And it just happened to be in alphabetical order this time. Yeah, let's go to slide 8. Okay, so the data source is what you would use to create your report template. It determines the type of reports you can create. It provides the data field, that you can use for the report template. You can only use one data source per report template. If you were to switch to a different data source and you already have some data field path already in the template, it may or may not work. It depends on if the XPath that was used in the data field matches the new data source. So if it just happens to match, then you can reuse it. But if not, then you would not see anything in the report once you generate it. And let's go to slide 9. Okay, so the data source also determines what level of the project you can retrieve data from. So there are the level that you can get data from is the project level, catalog level, and the element level. So in this case, the process level detailed data source, I can only select a process to generate the report on. So if you look on the right, the screenshot here, I have selected the project level. So that way the next button is not enabled. So once I select process 1, then it will allow me to proceed to the next screen. Now there are some data sources such as the task specification data source or the organization specification data source that will let me select from the project level. Let's go to slide 10. Okay, so XML, XPath, and data, project data. So XML is what business model used to save its project. If you look if you ever peek into a business model project, you will see XML files. These are just XML file data. So XML, if any user is not familiar with it, it's just a markup language. It doesn't really do anything. It's just used to store data. It is just text. And you can open it with any text editor, and you will see a example later on. And so XPath is what is used to find the data in the XML. Business model report uses it to, when you see the data field, that is, it's really an XPath. And so let's go to slide 11. The project folder, if you look inside them, you see all XML files. How can you find the data to use in your report? One way is just to export the business model project as a Western business model XML. It will create an XML file where you can open with a text editor. And you will see all the data that are available. Okay, so let's go to slide 12. So here, example, I have a simple process name is process 1, and I just have a task. Now let's go to slide 13. So when I export that project as an XML, this is what you can see if you open it, the XML file as in a text editor. As you see, it's just text. And depending on the size of your project, you would have a lot more data there. If you do a text editor, you can see exactly what model will be seeing when you generate a report. Okay, so let's go to slide 14. So here's an example of XPath and how you can use it to look for the data here. So at the beginning is ECS slash model. And if you look in the XML, you will see a WBIM colon model. So that matches up with that, the first model there. Then if you skip down, you see a WBIM process model, then the processes, and below that is process. So each of these indentation is actually an element. XML is just a group of elements, and within each element contain other elements. So I like to use a text editor that indents all the text for me so that I can clearly see where all the elements are. So if we continue on with the XPath, we can go down to float content, then task. So when you see an at name, it means that it would get the value of that element or name. So in this case, when it says task at name, it will get the name of the task. So this was from the example project earlier. So when you see at name, it will get the name, which is task. And so let's go to slide 15. Okay, so first function I want to discuss is the current. It's very useful if you want to quickly create a data field when you're using a table or groups. Okay, so what it is, it just gets the current element that is being returned by a table or group. So if we have a table or a group that has the data path here, as shown here, when we drag and drop a data field into this table or group, we can either specify the full data field path for the path name, or we can shorten it by saying current / at name, or just simply a ./ at name. Okay, so what this means is that it'll get the current task returned by the table or group, and we just get the name for it. It's just a quick and simple way to do it. Let's go to slide 16. Okay, descendant. What this does is that it finds all elements. Usually this is for processes, catalogs, and the sub-process and sub-catalogs. So how you would use it is, for this example, it's for a group. In the group's path, data field path, we specify here. So from model, processes, and then we put descendant. And we specify the descendant as a process. So that means that it will find all the process and the sub-process that is contained inside the process. Then in the data field path, for the data field, we just set its current and name. So it was just so what this does is it gets the group will return a process and its descendant, and when it will just display the name of that process. So let's go to slide 17. Now, if we want to get the process and then list all the tasks in the process, we nest a group inside the group, and we just specify the data field path for the nested group as current, which means the current process, then flow content, and task. So what that does is get the current process and return a task or all tasks in that process. And we have a data field here, and we specify that to be current and in again. What this does is it gets the current task, which is returned by this nested group, and display the name of it. And the task name should not be confused with the current name of the process name. And these are at two different scopes. So the scope of the task name is only within the nested group. So when you say current inside the nested group, it will only get the element returned by the nested group. And so let's go to slide 18. Here's an example of a process with nested subprocesses. And you can see tasks within each subprocess. So using the previous report element that in the previous slide, we can see that it will return a report that is displayed on the right side here. So first it will just grab the process, and then it will go and find all the tasks for it, and then it goes to the next, the descendant of it, which is a subprocess, and then display the task name under each one. And again, usually it does not display, return it in alphabetical order. It just happens that I create these tasks, 1, 2, 3, like this, in this order. And let's go to slide 19. So this example, one of the questions that I usually get is how to, or list items or elements from the project tree. So if you look here, I have a group inside, a group, and then inside the group I have a table. So the group, I have specified the data field path as descendant of catalogs. In this case, it's process catalog. So the first data field in the group, I have current and name, which will return the catalog name. And then for the table, I have a more complex XPath there. So model, processes, process. And then inside the brackets here, I have current /@ID. What that current is getting the current element that is returned by the group. And using that, it gets an ID of that element. Then substring before a name, then pound. I will explain in the next slide. So let's go to slide 20. So when we see current /@ID, substring dash before, at name, pound. What this is doing is that it is looking at the process model and looking for a process. Well, when it finds a process, it will look at the name, and it's getting the substring before the pound. If you look at the very last line here, the string before the pound is a DRCSSS. So that is matching up with the catalog ID above that. So if it finds a process that matches the process ID, it will return that process. And so we go to slide 21. So this is the result of running that template. What you get is a process. Then it finds the matching process that has the matching ID and displays it in the table. And for each of the process catalog, it actually has to run the search again and check with each process again to see if the process contains a catalog ID that matches the current catalog. Okay, so let's go to slide 22. So just a word caution on when modifying or copying from a predefined report template. Many users copy data fields from a report template that they like, and then they run in their custom report and they see that they don't find any data in there. So that usually is the case when they either are not using the correct data source. So the predefined report template that they copy from is a different data source from the custom report template, data source that they are using for the custom report. So if you have two different data sources, one of them will not work, which is usually the one that the current report template is using will work, whereas the one that you're copying from will not work. And also when you copy a data field from a report template, make sure that you check that is the group that it is in, do you have the same data field path for the group as you do in your custom report template as in the predefined report template. So if they are not the same, then the data might not be returned correctly. And so let's go to slide 23. So in summary, Visit Smaller projects are saved in XML files. They are called XMI files, actually. So all the data that can be viewed by the report designer, or all the data that are available by the report designer, you can do them in, by exporting your project as a business model XML. And XPath is what is used to find the data in the XML. There are resources available on the web if you need more information on XPath. And when you modify a predefined report or copy data field from one, always be sure to check where that data field is located in the report template. If it's inside a group or a table, make sure that you have the same data field for the group as in your custom report as in the predefined template. If not, then your data will not be returned correctly. Let's go to slide 24. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for our VoiceThread products. Developer Works offer in-depth technical information. The events link on support pages points you to webcasts and conference information. Visit VoiceThread.org for user groups information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The SR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMR online. And the My Notification link on all product support pages let you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you.
Thank you, Hal, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Grady, we would like to open the lines for questions.
At this time, there are no questions.
Thank you, Grady. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.